That's with Gregory Copley, my friend and colleague, 1974. Gregory and I were younger men, 50 years in a wink. Three events Gregory ties together in a recent essay. One, July 74, Turkey invades Cyprus and the island is still divided harshly. There's still bad feelings between the adversaries. Two, the resignation of Richard Nixon from the presidency in August of 74. And three, the coup against Haile Selassie in Ethiopia in September of 74. All three events at this remove 50 years later look like a Russian hand. Do I say that correctly, Gregory?
Well, a Soviet hand, more to the point. We have to really distinguish, as we did during the Cold War, between the Russians and the Soviets. The Soviets were playing a very strong game. They were projecting with their whole totalitarian movement that there was such a thing as monolithic communism and that it was the inevitable fate of the world to come under their sway. And what we saw Richard Nixon doing as a result of some really advanced work in the late 60s, early 70s, by Stefan Personi and supported by General Al Haig at that time, was to introduce to Nixon the concept that China could be prized away from the Soviet Union, the People's Republic of China. That would have meant that the image of monolithic communism had been broken and that the U.S. and its allies were then free to, divide and conquer the Soviet Union and the People's Republic of China separately. There is no question that, in hindsight, that Nixon's visit to China was the thing which broke the sense of inevitability of China, of Soviet global control. That myth began to break away then. However, the Communist Party of the Soviet Union at that time was so angry at this, that they knew that this was a critical point. They were just coming into their prime. NATO itself was only 25 years old and very vibrant, and so was the Warsaw Treaty Organization, which is controlled by Moscow. That was like 24 years old at the time, and they were really in the full flush of their vigor. And the Soviets decided to stop Nixon before he got to phase two. Phase two of his mission was not to bring the People's Republic of China into the Western orbit, because it was quite clear that under Mao Zedong that would not happen. So his goal was to pull Beijing away from Moscow and then basically suppress the growth of the People's Republic of China. However, once the Soviets got their campaign going to remove Nixon from office, which they did very successfully, with Watergate, among other things, and with the use of, and at a high risk, the use of their assets in Washington, they managed to bring down Nixon, so that when he was succeeded by Gerald Ford as president, Ford was unable to continue the Nixon policies. He was busy trying to shore up the credibility of the government as it was, and Carter himself was strategically, he was strategically illiterate would be a generous term for him. But what happened as a result was that China was then brought into the global trading sphere and was enabled to rise as a strategic power because of largely because of U.S. and Western investment. So essentially, yes, the Soviets stopped Nixon, but they also enabled the growth of the PRC. And what happened was, as Stefan Personi, the great strategist, said, was that the Soviet Union would start to fall apart and collapse, which it did by 1990, really. And he said that that the People's Republic of China would not be long after it. But we forget that what happened was that the West basically put the People's Republic of China onto a drip feed of U.S. and Western capital and technology, which has enabled the PRC to survive longer than it otherwise would have. And then, of course, Deng Xiaoping managed to, after Mao Zedong died, was able to formalize the PRC's move into a market economy. Now we're seeing Xi Jinping, for example, going back to Maoism, right, which means that they'll collapse. But
Let's go on to Turkey, Gregory, because 50 years later, Turkey, we can talk about Cyprus at the same time we talk about Erdogan's ambitions. Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. The time machine from 74 is coming right up to 2024. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.